Keith's brother Tom was now beginning to show the effects of tuberculosis. While helping to nurse him, Keats is prompted to reflect on the kind of philosophy which may be able to help us endure grief and bereavement.
To J. H. Reynolds, Teignmouth, May 3rd, 1818. My dear Reynolds, what I complain of is that I have been in so uneasy a state of mind as not to be fit to write to an invalid. I cannot write to any length under a disguised feeling. I should have loaded you with an addition of gloom, which I am sure you do not want. I am now, thank God, in a humour to give you a good groat's worth, for Tom, after a night without a wink of sleep, and overburdened with fever, has got up, after a refreshing day's sleep, and is better than he has been for a long time. And you, I trust, have been again round the common, without any effect but refreshment. An extensive knowledge is needful to thinking people. It takes away the heat and fever, and helps, by widening speculation, to ease the burden of the mystery. A thing I begin to understand a little, and which weighed upon you in the most gloomy and true sentence in your letter. The difference of high sensations with and without knowledge appears to me this. In the latter case, we are falling continually 10,000 fathoms deep, and being blown up again without wings and with all the horror of a bare-shouldered creature. In the former case, our shoulders are fledged with wings, and we go through the same air and space without fear. Yet it is impossible to know how far knowledge will console us for the death of a friend, and the ills that flesh is heir to. I compare human life to a large mansion of many apartments, two of which I can only describe, the doors of the rest being as yet shut upon me. The first we step into we call the infant or thoughtless chamber, in which we remain as long as we do not think. We remain there a long while, and notwithstanding the doors of the second chamber remain wide open, showing a bright appearance, we care not to hasten to it, but are at length imperceptibly impelled by the awakening of the thinking principle within us. We no sooner get into the second chamber, which I shall call the chamber of maiden thought, than we become intoxicated with the light and the atmosphere. We see nothing but pleasant wonders, and think of delaying there forever in delight. However, among the effects this breathing is father of, is that tremendous one of sharpening one's vision into the heart and nature of man, of convincing one's nerves that the world is full of misery and heartbreak, pain, sickness, and oppression, whereby this chamber of maiden thought becomes gradually darkened, and at the same time on all sides of it many doors are set open, but all dark, all leading to dark passages. We see not the balance of good and evil. We are in a mist. We are now in that state. We feel the burden of the mystery. To this point was Wordsworth come, as far as I can conceive, when he wrote Tintern Abbey. And it seems to me that his genius is explorative of those dark passages. Now, if we live and go on thinking, we too shall explore them. Your affectionate friend, John Keats.